All right, welcome to Let That Music Out. I'm super excited. I got a very, very, very special guest on today's show for a couple of reasons. One, because I met this brother at the beginning of my career, and he was very early on in his career, although he was a little bit more advanced in his career, but we became instant friends and kindred spirits since then. And since then, as we kind of went our separate ways, I've watched this brother like do amazing things and grow. So without further ado, I want to introduce everyone to Mr. Ryan Toby. What's up, brother? Ooh, welcome to Let That Music Out.
It's likewise. Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you being here. So I know you're a busy man, so I'm gonna get right into my questions because I know people are gonna want to know some things. So I'm gonna start off with Ryan, how did you get started in music with your career?
Oh man, 30 years ago. That's crazy to say that number out loud. So yeah, 30 years ago, I started very young, about 14, 15, I'd say. And I was just, you know, regular kid from a regular town, South Jersey, Willingboro, New Jersey, small town, about 20 minutes outside of Philadelphia, about an hour and a half south of New York City. And yeah, I was just growing up singing in church, nothing professional, no professional background. I didn't have like a stage mom or none of that. I was just a regular kid around the way that could sing a little bit and rap. I've been rapping and singing since I was, you know, 7, 8 years old. So had the gift early, but nothing serious popped off until about age 15. I started working with my first manager named Marvin Thompson, who was really just a family friend. He was a friend. He was my friend's father, a little young homie I had around the way. His dad, he was like, yo, man, you should let my dad hear you sing. He knows some people in New York. He can take you to New York and maybe get you a record deal, you know? So I just like sang for him at the barbershop. It was just like real impromptu, nothing fancy. And me and Marvin started rocking, and he started taking me to studio sessions, started taking me to, you know, putting me in talent competitions, taking me to open mic nights, those type of things, taking me to the Apollo. I sang at the Apollo like 4 or 5 times. Wow. And so we were just moving and grooving. And then we were going to record labels. We were trying to get me a deal. I was singing at record labels. I was going to a bunch of little singing auditions for record labels. And then we met an A&R guy at RCA Records named Denny Ortiz, who discovered SWV. He discovered Pharrell and the Neptunes. And many, many others. And so Kenny liked me. Kenny wanted to work with me. And so he gave me like a demo deal budget of about like $4,500 just to go and like record some professional songs. Like
the get a demo deal. Demo. We love the demo deals.
So I was doing that. And while I was working with Kenny, I think between Marvin, Kenny, and another lady who was working with me named Bobby Humphrey, they heard about the auditions for Sister Act 2. Disney and Touchstone Films was looking for kids that could sing and dance to be a part of this ensemble cast in this choir for Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
And so that was the first audition I ever went on in my life, like the first real professional audition. I never had any acting background or nothing.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I went to the audition, did my thing, got a callback. That one callback led to about 7 more callbacks. And then the last one was in L.A. for the producers and everybody, director and everybody. And yeah, God bless me with the part. And so Sister Act 2 was my break into the industry on a like real professional level. So, you know, from singing, acting, and even from writing, because I got writing credit in the Joyful Joyful song. I wrote the rap part with it, like Joyful Joyful.
Lord, yeah, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I wrote that part. So I've been getting publishing checks since 1993.
Amen.
Yeah, so that's pretty much, that was the start. That was the genesis on a professional level.
It's funny you brought up that because, oh, happy day. So you remember when you got the email from me about 7 or 8 months ago, like out of the blue, we just reconnected. I didn't even know we were going to be doing all this stuff now. But when reason why is because Sister Act 2 came on and I'm just sitting on my couch at home, just laying back. watching Whoopi and watching just like, man, this was one of those movies from my childhood. And then you came on, I was like, yo, where the heck is Ryan at? I gotta hit him up. So I like went searching, looking on Instagram, came across your joint. I was like, yo, let me just send him an email. Why not? He might reply. So I'm headed to a showcase. I got your email back. I was like, man, my man's still doing his thing. So yeah, that for me was big, man. That was one of the first movies that used to give me the goosebumps when I watched it. Like when your part singing, when Lauryn Hill, like all of the talent that was in that movie. Man, I mean, Jennifer Love Hewitt was in that.
Tanya Blount was in
Tanya
it.
Blount was in that. Like a
Yeah,
lot
it
of
was
stars
crazy.
kind of blossomed out of that, right? And that was one of the movies that used to give me the chills when I watch it. So bad. That's big. Okay, cool. So what would you say? That was your start. What would you say? My next question is your big break, like the thing that really took you to that next level. Like, okay, now I'm officially a superstar in my own right.
I think define superstar. What do you mean? I'm a
I
superstar
mean,
moment. Define that.
great question. I mean, a household name where you go out in public and people are like, I know who you are, or like, a person that, a household name, or someone that's easily recognizable where you go to get coffee and people are like, hey, I know you. Can I get your autograph? No matter what state you go to, hey, let me, I that's what I would consider a definition of a superstar.
I would have to say it was Sister Act 2, but not initially when the movie first debuted. When the movie first debuted, believe it or not, it was considered a box office flop because it paled in comparison to the numbers and the revenue that the first one did in the
I
box
got you.
office.
Got you.
But what happened was, over the years up in the 90s, we were then transitioning into movies, the home video and DVD sales and movies being played on TV, syndicated, coming on, Lifetime Network every Christmas, coming on HBO every Thanksgiving, coming on BET every Thanksgiving. Like when that started happening over the years, I'd say about 7 to 8 years, even 10 years, like throughout a 7, 8 year, 10 year span after the movie, people was watching it at home every year. It was
Yes,
coming
right.
on.
Yep.
And so then, so right after I did the movie, I just went back to high school. There was no big hoopla, there was no parade, there was no
No parade.
it was nothing. It was nothing. I was still just Ryan, big head Ryan, class clown. But then, like, I graduated high school. I did the movie when I was 16, but then graduated high school, and now I'm outside. You know what I'm saying? I'm going clubbing. I'm doing that. I'm like 22, 23, 21, 22, 23. And people are like, yo, don't I? Girls are like, hey, you know what I'm saying? And so I'd have to say it was Sister Act was the break as far as making me recognizable in household. But like, 5, 6, 7 years after the fact, it was crazy. It was
Wow,
crazy.
that's amazing. So, when I met you, you were in a group called City High, and you guys came to play at Stockton State College. And my good friend and one of my mentors, DJ Do It All, had me come out, and I actually introduced you guys on stage because I wanted to be an artist too at one point. So I took any chance I could to jump on stage. But at the moment when I met you guys were like, you had a couple of big hits. You had
What would you
What Would
do?
You Do
And
and
caramel.
Caramel. And I remember that. So like, what was that like being part of that group?
So I had the Sister Act era and then moved into the City High era, which is a whole nother. I've had like three careers, you know what I'm saying? With City High, that was great, man. It was me and two people from my hometown from Willingboro, Robbie Parlow and Claudette Ortiz. And we Wyclef kind of like put us together between Wyclef, Jean, his cousin Jerry Wonder. They
Shout out
had a
to
record
Jerry.
label. Yeah, shout out to Jerry.
I love Jerry.
They had a record label on Interscope called Booga Basement. And so they signed us, and between them and our management, we were all three solo artists. We were three solo artists. It was kind of like a making the band type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Take three solo artists, put them together, blow up the group, and then we were all supposed to have, you know, go solo.
Got it.
That was the plan. So yeah, we put the group together. We started rocking, and yeah, we had some really, really great success. What Would You Do? It was like the number two selling single in the country. We was killing it, man. And then Caramel came out, that did really well, and we rocked out for a minute, you know what I mean? Until, you know, the group broke up, obviously, because we were three solo artists. Like, so it was like everybody still wanted to do their own thing. But yeah, for a while, early 2000s, we were jamming. We was touring like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we made history with that.
I love that, man. I love that moment. So, man, this one is more so for the younger artist that's coming up, that, you know, that probably face challenges and stuff. What would you say was, like, you know, one of your biggest challenges that you faced in your career, and how did you overcome it?
You know, the biggest challenge that I honestly still face to this day, to be honest, just to be fully transparent, doubting yourself.
When doubting.
Because, you know, the music industry is a roller coaster. You up, and then you're down. And then you back up, and then you might
and
be
back
down.
Down
and
yeah.
You might be back up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And like, and just knowing how to navigate those waters when, you know, because when you're hot, and everybody's on you, and everybody calling your phone, everybody, everybody's your best friend, right?
Yeah.
But then if you go through maybe a cold spell, like, everybody has,
like we all do. Yeah.
What artists you name, I don't care who they are. They don't stay sizzling hot forever.
No.
They may go through a time where they ain't got no hits, or the sound of the radio changed, or they can't keep up with the times, or whatever may happen, right? Somebody else comes out doing their style better than them, and they're younger and cuter and hotter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now the key to longevity, though, is
knowing how to remember who you are, even when the world may be sleeping on you.
Wow.
That's the biggest challenge. Like, damn, am I still that dude? Do I still got it? Like, am I still nice with it? Damn, yeah. I ain't had, you know, I might not have had no big number one hit in a minute, because the entertainment industry is a what have you done lately industry.
Absolutely.
What have you done lately? What you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What have you done lately?
Yeah.
And so sometimes that could get overwhelming. Sometimes that could get challenging, and it could just have you stuck and have you feeling like, maybe I ain't it. No, maybe I ain't it. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I ain't got it no more. And all these other crazy thoughts that come to your head. But the way to overcome it, I would say, is through faith in yourself, man. You got to believe in yourself, and you got to know how to reinvent yourself.
That's right.
You got to know how to, like,
flip the script.
Maybe, you know what I'm saying, double back and come back with something new. And you got to constantly be in a state of evolution. Don't get stuck on what you did in the past.
Yes.
Do it. Do the music.
Let it go.
And then move on and go on, move on to the next thing. Don't try to keep holding on to the past and holding on to what you did. And don't let people pigeonhole you to the past and to what you did.
Yes.
Always be in a constant state of evolution. That's the way you overcome, you know, that roller coaster road of the entertainment industry.
What a great answer, man. What a masterful answer that was, man. And inspiring too. I think a lot of people could love that.
Awesome.
But I want to double back, because I skipped over one question, which is big question. You've also had a part of your career where you went on to write for a lot of artists. You went on to do some songwriting. So tell us some of the artists that you have written songs for as a songwriter, as Ryan the songwriter.
Right. So yeah, so then there's that. That's like
part of the third career.
Part of my third career. Back to my point of constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
I've written for Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish. I've written for David Hollister from Blackstreet. I've written for Will Smith. I've written for Mary J. Blige, Lionel Richie, Justin Bieber, Chris Brown, Usher, Tank, Tyrese,
Genuine,
A. Marie, Faith Evans. I said Mary J. Blige, right?
Yes, sir.
And
But you can say her again because she's incredible. The
yeah, Jill
queen.
Scott. Yeah, Jill Scott. 112, New Edition.
Yeah. Yeah,
Ruben Studdard,
exactly.
everybody, yeah.
Man, that's amazing, man. Congratulations to have so many
Thank
different, you know what I'm saying, peak moments in your career. So I was watching a bunch of content and I saw shout out to Tank and Jay Valentine when you talked about your on the
you.
R&B
R&B
Money
Money,
show,
yeah.
and you talked about this one particular riff that actually
Yeah.
started trending that you wrote on Superstar for Usher. Now,
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody knows the riff, so I ain't gonna bother you getting you to do it right now, unless you just want to, unless you feel like singing. Not to be redundant.
I saw you hit it early. You gotta hit it for him. Go ahead.
And that was not even close to how you and the singers do it. But that's a great riff.
Thank you.
Now I heard that, and I heard you, I'm quoting you, that you demoed the songs and Usher and probably a couple other singers like kind of interpolate the way you sing it, right? Because you put a lot of your own essence and flavor into your demos. Do you feel that's like part of, like, as a songwriter, that's part of what makes it your magic, is like the way you deliver a demo, a reference song?
Absolutely. I think, and see, there's a sweet science to it, because you want to
add enough
of your
flavor and sauce to paint the
picture of the song that you're presenting to an artist.
Yeah.
But you don't want to add so much that the artist can't hear themselves singing it.
Got it.
And that's
something that was a fine line that I had to learn, because I'm a singer first. I'm a singer. So if I'm writing a song and then when I'm referencing it, I'm singing it. I'm singing it because I can sing. And I'm singing it the way I want to hear it. You know, I'm giving it the vocal textures and timbres and vibes that I want to hear the song how I wrote it. It's like singing how I wrote it, anime. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but I had to learn, and I still, I don't want to say struggle with it. And I like to sing. It's fun. So it's like sometimes I got to like, no, Ryan, dial it back. You want to make it so that if I present it to Bieber, Chris Brown, John Legend, Adam Levine, anybody, they can hear themselves. Oh, yeah, I can sing. I'll kill that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, don't oversing it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I don't really believe in making demos. I make songs.
You make songs. Yeah, for sure.
I don't make demos.
I think we
I
passed
make
the
songs.
Demo. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that, man. So I also got a chance to listen to a lot of the music that you made during the pandemic, because you actually put out a whole series of albums. Let's talk to that for people who haven't heard it yet, because I want people to tune into those. Those albums are great, man. Talk a little bit about that. It's a bonus question. But yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, man. Thank you. So during the pandemic, we were all on lockdown, and I'm sitting in the crib thinking that the world was coming to an end. And I just was like, well, if the world is coming to an end, you know what I mean? And let me start releasing everything I got just to get it out of me. Cause you know, who knows what's about to happen, right? We were all on lockdown. They shut down air travel. It was getting kind of bleak.
Yeah, man,
so,
it was.
I put out an album called Songs for the Lockdown. And I just called it Songs for the Lockdown Volume 1. And then
That next week,
I put it out on a Friday. That next week, I was like, because I had more songs and I was cooking up more songs. So I was like, what if I put out another one this Friday, just on some like run it back on, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I put out another one on that following Friday. And then people started DMing me like, I bet you can't do three. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Want to bet? So then I dropped three and then four. And then, so yeah, I put out an album every week for 10 weeks in a row.
That's amazing.
And just called it Songs for the Lockdown, volumes 1 through 10. Yeah, it's streaming everywhere. You can check that out. It's on all platforms. So yeah.
That's amazing.
It's like 80 records. I put out like 80 records.
That's
in like
amazing.
2 months.
Wow. Yeah. Now that's work. See, that's the kind of work ethic I tell people that I mentor, and I tell people like you got to be in there doing the work, putting the records together. Even if
you
put a demo, reference it down or whatever it is, get it, you know, get your catalog up, start making records, because there are people who are outworking you right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe less talented.
Less. Thank you. I always say that, bro. I always be like, look, there's people that don't have the singing ability that you might have, but they got that drive. It's something that you can't really teach. It's like something that's innate in some people. They just have that tenacity, that ferocity to just go out and like break down doors and walls to get to their dream. And they might not have the same singing, but that don't matter. It's about who's going to be disciplined and consistent and work and work hard for it. So you're living proof of that, man. That's
Thank you,
beautiful.
sir. Thank you,
My
man.
brother. All right. So my final question. So what's next for you for this year and going forward? And what's next?
Wow. So right now, well, I'm in Colombia. I'm in Medellin, Colombia right now.
Amazing.
I've been here for like 2 months. I'll probably stay. Well, I'm going to stay till the end of the month, and then I'm going to go to Thailand, and I'm going to spend some time in Southeast Asia and just like travel to Bali and Cambodia, Vietnam, Philippines. Right now, I'm just on my like soul searching sabbatical. Once again, reinvention. You got to know how to reinvent. And so I want to hear new sounds. I want to smell new air. I want to taste new foods. I want to hear different music, different languages. I want to be inspired by different culture. So right now I'm just like traveling. I got my microphone. I got my laptop. You know what I mean? So I'm cooking up. I'm always cooking up everywhere I go. But yeah, I'm just kind of like traveling around and just soaking in the world right now.
That's beautiful, brother. Well, much, much more blessings and more power to you with that. And
Thank you, sir.
I look forward to getting one on the charts with you too. Yeah. And I got that record.
I think I have two songs on Usher's new album that's coming out February 9th. So check out Usher's new album.
Okay, we're gonna check for that. Usher's new record.
Yeah.
And that record that you gave me called We Are, that one's coming, bro. It's on my desktop. Like I said.
Oh, you know, I think Marcus Houston is recording that right now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you finalize the production? Because man,
I'm still waiting for you to get.
Okay, okay. I'm not playing. I know you call me Captain America. Y'all laugh so.
Yo, the cap is real with you, Captain Roy.
No, bro. I'm just.
Scratch. Face that.
No, it's not like that, bro. You know, I got you. I just want to make sure my plate is clear when I open up your file. I mean, this is a whole nother level.
Okay. You know okay. Say less.
There you go.
Less.
Well, my brother, appreciate you, man. God bless. Thank you for joining us on. Man.